On the calendar is Hahn versus Gonzalez, 04-27-12. In this case, about 2 weeks ago, the parties jointly moved to waive oral argument. We granted that motion, and this case will be taken under advisement and decided on the basis of the briefs. So we move to the second case for argument today, third case on our calendar, which is Wang versus Gonzalez. Appeal number 04-3867. Mr. Sabatello.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Kevin Sabatello on behalf of Petitioner. This case is before this Court because the BIA failed to support its adverse credibility determination with substantial evidence in the record. Specifically, the BIA found three instances of alleged inconsistencies or omissions between various statements. The testimony, Petitioner's affidavit in support of his asylum application, his record of sworn statement and proceedings, and his credible fear assessment. The first inconsistency that the BIA cited the petitioner had stated in his credible fear assessment that five Chinese population control authorities came to his home and tried to forcibly arrest him to undergo a sterilization operation. The BIA held that these were not included in either the record of sworn statements, his affidavit, or his testimony. But in fact, there were indications in each of those three that he did talk about that he was arrested and that the authorities tried to force him to undergo a sterilization. In particular, he does mention in his sworn statements that the authorities attempted to force him to undergo a sterilization. He also talked about a threat of sterilization in his affidavit, and he also testified in his testimony that authorities tried to subject him to sterilization, even though he may not have included all of the specific details that the authorities came to his home and attempted to hold him down, and then he escaped from that. That was included in his credible fear assessment. The specific details were not included in each of them, but he did testify in each of these that he was potentially subjected to forced sterilization.
Now, he lied at his initial hearing, preliminary hearing, didn't he?
He did in his preliminary hearing. He had stated that he was living with his cousin in New York. And then he later admitted that that was false.
Well, there were a number of things that he testified to at the preliminary hearing, and he admitted later that all that was a fish story.
He did admit later that several of the... He admitted that he had lied about living in New York with a cousin and also about the details of what he was doing, where he was working. He did admit later on that he had lied about that, and he apologized for that. But those
initial statements at this preliminary hearing, those are made under oath, are they not?
They are.
It seems sort of unusual, and I mean, we get a lot of these immigration cases, but where there is clear, I guess, perjury committed by an asylum seeker at an initial proceeding. And that was the case here. And now there's questions about his credibility. He says he was a devout Christian and he never raised that earlier and that sort of thing. How's a BIA or an immigration judge supposed to review those sorts of things?
Well, Your Honor, these were not the issues on which either the BIA or the IJ had found him specifically not credible. They had found him not credible on the details of...
Yeah, but we've got the whole record here, too, and it's not somebody thinking that he may have testified falsely. We know he committed perjury, and everybody here knows he committed perjury at his preliminary hearing.
Yes, but he did later admit to that. He confessed to it, and he apologized before his hearing and before any of these of it, before his hearing commenced. And his testimony at his hearing was consistent with his other documents, his testimony about the persecution he faced, the abortion his wife was forced to undergo, as well as the threat of sterilization that he himself was under. So the details of his persecution are not really related to what he had lied about in his previous hearing.
But then doesn't he also have a problem because he never mentioned the forced IUD insertion in the initial interview or in the credible fear assessment? You know, it was discussed at the hearing but never mentioned.
It was discussed at the hearing, and it was also included in his record of sworn statements, which was another thing that the BIA had said it was not. He did talk in his record of sworn statements about his wife being forced to have an IUD implanted.
Right, but it wasn't in the initial interview or the credible fear assessment.
It was not, but at the same time, I mean, not every single detail was in the initial credible fear assessment, but all of the essential details of the persecution that he suffered in China were included. And not every last detail is going to be included in every single document as well as in the testimony, particularly given that certain questions are asked and he's answering and responding to the questions that he's asked. And particularly for recent immigrants who don't have the best knowledge of English, or in this petitioner's instance, doesn't really have any knowledge of English. He's simply responding to the questions that he's asked. There was another inconsistency.
It seems it's pretty logical to look at what somebody says initially as probably being accurate, and you'd expect someone to mention the most compelling reasons why they have come here.
Yes, and we would argue that he did. He did, in fact, state the most compelling reasons, primarily that his wife was forced to undergo an abortion in China, and also that he was threatened with sterilization. And, in fact, during his credible fear assessment, it was found that he did have a credible fear of persecution when the case was referred over. The third instance where the BIA had found that there was some inconsistency or omission was where the petitioner had said that population control authorities wanted to sterilize him because they couldn't sterilize his wife. Now, they had said that was included in the credible fear assessment, but not included in the sworn statements, in the record of sworn statements, in the affidavit or the testimony. He did mention in the affidavit that they had threatened him if they couldn't get to his wife. Additionally, in each of these, he had talked about the threat of forced sterilization. Now, even though he may not have included in there that the reason they wanted to sterilize him was because they couldn't get to his wife, he still testified to the essential facts that underlie the persecution. And the third instance, of course, we already mentioned was where the petitioner testified that population control authorities inserted an IUD into his wife after the forced abortion, which we already addressed, was in the testimony and affidavit, and it also was included in the record of sworn statements where the BIA had said that it was not. So if there are no further questions, I would prefer to reserve my time.
Mr. Hardy?
Thank you. morning, Your Honors. Chris Hardy for Alberto Gonzalez. We have two main arguments, Your Honor. The BIA's adverse credibility determination is supported by substantial evidence. The BIA identified serious omissions and inconsistencies between Mr. Wang's statements at various stages of the proceedings that go right to the heart of his alleged basis for seeking asylum, which was that he claimed that he would be forcibly sterilized when returned to China. As you're well aware, the BIA's factual determinations are subject to substantial deference on review here. And I take petitioner to be arguing that it's sufficient if he outlines the broadest story about why he fears he fears sterilization upon return to China, without being consistent in including the details supporting that story at one stage of the proceeding to the next. That is not the law. The BIA is entitled to deference when it identifies omissions of the sort that are present here that go to the core of the petitioner's claim for alleged basis for seeking asylum. So first, the BIA's adverse credibility determination should be upheld. Second, to the extent petitioner is still pursuing the argument that he's entitled to relief under the Convention Against Torture based on an alleged fear that he may be detained and then possibly abused for having illegally immigrated to the United States, that is an argument that was not presented to the BIA, was not in petitioner's brief to the BIA, was not addressed in the BIA's decision, and it's well settled that where you fail to exhaust administrative remedies like that, you can't present the claim for the first time on appeal. Turning to the adverse credibility determination, Your Honor, Mr. Wang's claim is that he would be subject to forced sterilization upon return to China. The BIA identified three omissions and inconsistencies that relate to that claim and point to different stories that he told at one stage between his credible fear assessment and what he said in other places, including, most importantly, what he said in his application for asylum and then what he said at trial. In his credible fear assessment, he went into detail. It's not that he left out details. He went into detail about his basis for fearing being forcibly sterilized. And what he said was that the Chinese population control authorities had wanted to sterilize his wife and came to get her to sterilize her after subjecting her to a forced abortion, but they couldn't because she was too ill, he claims. And when they couldn't do that, he claims, went after him and tried to arrest him. Five of them came after him. He claims that he got away because only two were holding him down. Then he immediately went into hiding and then left China for the United States. So that was his story for why he had an immediate fear of being forcibly sterilized if he's returned to China. He omitted the story of these individuals coming to get him in his application for asylum, and he also omitted that story in his trial testimony. Instead, by the time that he testified at trial, the story was that, well, they had forced his wife to have an IUD, and they didn't come after me because they couldn't sterilize my wife, but they came after me. They were going to come after me at some point. And contrary to what his counsel said, he never said that they had tried to arrest him. He just says that they were going to come after me, and it was because they wanted to make an example of me, and because they wanted to appease local political officials in the population control authority.
Let me ask you just kind of an overview here. This case is fairly similar to one we're going to hear argument on in half an hour or so, and also it's the same issue as in the case that we're taking under advisement where counsel waived oral argument. All are cases where there are challenges. Asylum is being sought based on opposition to China's one-child policy. It's a lot of cases for us, for this panel, dealing with that one issue. Is there some place where the Department of Homeland Security collects data on how many of these claims are being made? How many people from China coming over here and arguing that they're entitled to asylum because they object to the family planning policies of government in China?
Your Honor, unfortunately, I can't answer that question, but I can inquire about it if you would like and follow up on that issue.
Yeah, why don't you?
Okay.
It just seems like there's quite a few of these cases, and you know, we take them one at a time, but it's nice to have a kind of an overview of what the whole situation is. I know our court's had a number of these cases, and we have three today.
Right. That is a good suggestion, Your Honor, and I'll follow up on it. I would just like to point out, in terms of, you know, this case as to compared to some of the other cases involving forced abortions, like the Lin case, for example, where you know, the immigration judge discounted aspects of the story. For example, you know, I don't believe that population control officials would come, you know, to get you or something like that. You see these claims being advanced repeatedly, and this court has sometimes rejected adverse credibility determinations based on an unsupported rejection of the story. Here, that's not what's going on. The BIA identified major omissions in the story from one stage of the proceedings to the next, and cases from this court are clear that those kinds of omissions, especially ones that go to the heart of the claim for asylum, and where there's really one critical incident that's been pointed to here, you know, these individuals coming to his house, those are the kind of omissions that can support an adverse credibility determination. You know, it's not a minor omission, it's not a minor detail, and in these cases, the proof is in the detail when those details go to the heart of what the individual is seeking asylum for. I mean, he could have made a broader claim and not gone into the details potentially about, or made a different claim that didn't go into or have as its basis his fear of being sterilized when he's returned to China. But that was his claim, and the details that the BIA pointed to go to the heart of that claim, and therefore the decision of the BIA should be affirmed, and the petition for review should be denied.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further?
Thank you, Your Honors. I would just like to reiterate that this petitioner did, in fact, testify consistently about the matters at the heart of his claim. First of all, that his wife was forced to undergo an abortion in China, and second, that he had been threatened with sterilization by the authorities. These inconsistencies or omissions that the BIA cites to in their opinion, in some cases, were not even omissions at all. They were mentioned in some of these, in the sworn statements or the affidavit or the testimony. And all of the central details of this petitioner's persecution were mentioned consistently throughout. All of the matters at the heart of the claim were testified to consistently.
Okay. Thank you. And this case will be taken under advisement. Thank you to both counsel for their fine presentations. We move to